It's a Slim Time production.
We back with another episode of the Courtcast. I was about to say Highland Podcast, my bad. By the voice, you can tell it's me, the voice of reason, the voice of truth, the man who speaks the truth, the only truth, nothing but the truth. As usual, they're frowning about it, but there's nothing we're going to do. The nickname is here to stay, and it's going to stay for life.
the constant needs a cap is incredible.
Bro, y'all
I mean, he is putting on one right now, so.
All right, so what about you? of course, with me, I have... Mr. Shannon Sharp himself. He actually got into a divorce this week. We'll get into that later as the episode goes on, but thank you for coming back, Tosin.
Thank you. You've never called me Shannon Sharp.
What?
I've
been calling you Shannon Sharp for the past 1 year.
Oh, shit.
Simply because you think Brown is the GOAT. And we'll get into that as well. And we also have the Black Skip Bayless himself. Man goes without any introduction. Wearing a Raptors jersey, the only thing he stands out for right now, some of his opinions on certain individuals need to be more objective. But like I said, we'll get into that later. Thank you for coming back, Femi.
Thanks for having me.
This is his third episode in person. How does he feel?
I mean, he feels nice.
Feels better, I like. Yeah. All we need is, you know, that.
We're getting that this month.
Yeah, I got you. You know, a lot of things have happened in the NBA in the past week, but I just want to start off, like, because usually on this podcast, we just like to focus on mainly basketball and things that apply to, you know, 5-on-5 players and the storylines. But this week, I have been pretty upset by a certain individual that goes by the name of Kyrie Irving, son of Jrederik Irving, in case you didn't know who I was talking about. Kyrie has just, for somebody so talented, he's just so problematic as an individual. I want you guys to understand something. Kyrie Irving has been in Brooklyn for 4 years. Out of the 4 years, ask yourself sincerely, in fact, just the 1 year we've been doing this podcast, ask yourself sincerely, how many times since Kyrie has gone to Brooklyn, you can even add his season with the Celtics, how many times since he left the Cavs have we spoken about Kyrie just for his performance on the basketball court? So I'm not talking about all things that happen off the court, whatever happens in his personal life, all that. How many times has Kyrie Irving been in the major, in a headline in news just because of his basketball performances? He signed with the Brooklyn Nets 3 years ago, about to be 4 years now. Drops 50 on his debut against the Minnesota Timberwolves. I'm sure back then all the Nets fans were saying, wow, there's definitely a ring in our future. You add KD to this, his next game drops 37, 7, and 7. All of a sudden, from there on out, it's just not been about basketball. This first season, he was calling people to not go to the bubble. People got mad at him. We let that go. Second season, the attack on the Capitol building, he decides not to show up to work because some things are just more important than basketball. We let that go. They make the playoffs. He gets hurt. They come back. Overwhelming favorites last season to win the chip. He decides not to get the vaccine. Becomes a part-time player. Basically hampers his team from success throughout the whole of last season. Then you have the whole off-season drama with him sending cryptic messages on Twitter. And then this season, just his stubbornness to, I understand he wasn't promoting anti-Semitism, but his stubbornness to acknowledge that his, his ignorance might have ended up promoting anti-Semitism. Just say you're sorry. Like, even if you don't mean it, just say you're sorry. It's not that hard. And to be honest with you, I think the Brooklyn Nets should cut Kyrie Irving because as a basketball player, Kyrie Irving can play basketball till the day he decides he doesn't want to anymore. His body will not tell him when he should stop. He will tell himself when to stop. But the package of Kyrie Irving is just not worth it, especially when you're playing for a championship. I'm sorry.
I can respect that. For me, it was It's I mean, like you said, the stubbornness to just say
you're sorry.
It's just, and then when they gave him so many opportunities with a yes or no answer, and he just kept double talking, kept dragging it out. And you know, the one of the annoying things for me is, you know, like the reason I even picked up a basketball or even fell in love with the sport was because, you know, when I moved to North America in 2016, Kyrie was literally the point guard. He was the guy everybody would try to emulate because of his handles, the way he could take over games and stuff like that. But to see him, you know, shoot himself with a double barrel shotgun in his foot has been one of the most interesting fallouts I've ever you would ever witness from a very talented basketball player. I mean, a man could literally do everything from half court, even though damn near from his side of the court to the other side to score, and nobody could do anything to touch him. I remember one of my favorite clips of Kyrie was when he was on Team USA and he got the rebound and literally like dribbled past five players and everybody, and you know what I'm saying? I still managed to get the bucket. That was one of the reasons why I love the sport, you know what I'm saying? Just because of the way he carried himself on the basketball court. But to see him fall out, man, there's nothing more to say about him. You know, he's very problematic.
Okay, before I give Tosin the floor, I'd like to read his official letter of divorce. On this day, 3rd of November, on this day, November 3rd, 2022, Tosin Oriade will no longer be a fan of Kyrie Heller Irving. He cannot accept he is wrong and constantly jeopardizes the success of the team. I will be taking my loyalty away and I will be supporting Kevin Durant and want his success. But my number one loyalty is a free agent and I will be scouting who I give it to next. Sincerely, T. Shiesty. Does that statement say it all, or do you have anything else to say?
He says, you know, I was going to sit out from this conversation, to be honest, because it's a very emotional topic for me. And I'm just going to sit it out.
Yeah, man. It's cool, man. But yeah, I never thought I'd hear myself say Kyrie Irving should be caught by the Nets because during the playoffs, I came on here and said Kyrie Irving is a gift from the basketball gods. But the package, everything he comes in, as Stephen A said it best, it's not even just that. It's not that he's a bad person. Stephen A said when he started becoming more woke, he started to see himself as above people of the media, calling them pawns and stuff like that. And I totally agree with that. That's why you'd see the press conference he had where he was going back and forth with the reporter. But I've just made things straight up from there, but he didn't. So that's what we're going to be saying about Kyrie. Let's move on to more basketball related issues. And I think we should start, because I've not seen anybody in the media talk about them, but Golden State Warriors are currently 3-7. 3 wins, 7 losses in 10 games. At what point do we start getting worried for the Warriors?
I mean, they had a really bad stretch in last season where they lost 7 of 8, lost 8 of 11, and they still managed to win the chip last year. So I believe they will still be able to get it together. I don't doubt them for anything. And Steph is just cooking right now.
Steph is cooking. Wiggins has been great, but every other person has been very undermining. Klay has not been Klay. Draymond just... he's not bringing that energy he usually brings on the defensive side of things. Even the young guys who expected to take a step forward, I believe Jordan Poole has regressed a little bit. I don't think he's as exciting as he was last year. I think Kuminga has not taken that step up we all envisioned that he would. Same with Moses Moody. And Wiseman's attitude, for one, has been extremely disgusting. And 3-7 for the Warriors is an accurate depiction of where they are at this moment. Well, not where they are as a basketball franchise, but it's an accurate depiction of the start they've had to the season, because they've not been playing great basketball aside Steph and Wiggins. And I'm starting to get worried for them. So you watch the game against Orlando, they were up by, what, 10, 15? And then they just cannot play defense. They just cannot play defense. Tosin, what do you think?
Yeah, I think you guys said it. You said it best. I think the difference between last year's struggle and right now is last year they were missing key players. There was
Steph
a point
had an
where
injury.
Draymond was injured, Steph was injured, Klay wasn't there for the most part. This year they have everyone, and is quite disappointing, especially because the offense is not the problem. They're still putting up good numbers, but they cannot stop anyone. And that has been their staple for years. They're always top five defensive team every year. And they can't stop anyone from going to the hoop. They're conceding 130 points in regular time to a team like Orlando Magic.
Ridiculous.
Orlando Magic is the 24th offense in the league, and they conceded 130 points. In the clutch, they are terrible on defense, most especially. The silver lining is their starters still outscore other teams. But their bench is like a net negative. Like you highlighted some of the players, Wiseman has been terrible. Last game he scored, I think, 2 points. And that's been like his story for the most
and
part.
His attitude as well. Like his attitude is just so irritated.
Yeah. It seems like that leader that would be Draymond, he's obviously taking a step back as expected. And it seems no one has stepped up to be a vocal leader. At least Steph is always like show by example, he's never been like the vocal guy. So like with Wiseman, he's not posting up, his post-ups are ineffective. Moody is like the one steady guy from the young guys, but Moody is not a game changer. He's just going to come do his job. Kuminga has been disappointing. Poole has regressed, like you said. Poole is not making those shots. They're calling travels on things they wouldn't usually call on Poole before. It just seems everything that will go wrong is going wrong right now.
The amount of travels I've seen in the NBA just over the past week is crazy. Like it's almost as if people are forgetting how to play basketball.
And the most important thing that I at least observed was Steve Kerr choosing to rest all the starters for the last game against New Orleans. It just shows to me that they are mentally weak at this point because they went on like a 4-game losing streak. And you would hope to, you know, bounce back in the next game. And then they realized they were playing New Orleans. They were like, okay, let me take out the starters so that when they lose this one, they wouldn't feel down on themselves. They can come back the next game to win. So it's quite interesting.
For me, the more worrying thing, in fact, is the fact that the teams they are losing to, they've played good once against the Lakers. Against the Nuggets, they weren't great. Against the Kings, it's the Sacramento Kings. By the way, preview before the end of the show, they're my biggest losers of the week. Against the Suns, they gave up 134 points. They beat the Heat. Okay, I thought, okay, they're getting their season back on track. They lost to the Pistons, who are trying to get Wembanyama. They lost to the Heat, who have not been great this season. They lost to the Magic, who are also trying to get Wembanyama. They lost to the Pelicans, and they've also lost to the Charlotte Hornets without LaMelo Ball and Miles Bridges.
Oh.
So like, at what point do we stop looking at it like, oh, it's just the Warriors, it's the Warriors and they're going to be fine, or this is becoming alarming?
I mean, for defending champions who have done it, like, they're juggernaut. So like, you have to give them benefit of the doubt, but there are signs to be worried because no defensive team that's been this bad has ever won the championship.
So at what point do we start becoming worried for them?
I don't think we should be. I'm not worried. I'm telling you right now.
What if halfway into the... Because I was watching, I think, First Things First, and they were saying last year it took them how many games to have 7 losses? I think it took them over 20 games to have 7 losses. The year they were terrible, it took them more games to have 7 losses than they have... than the amount of games it took them to get 7 losses this season.
I'm not worried.
3-7 start to the season, you're still not worried?
Still not worried.
Man. Okay, at what point do you start getting worried?
I wait for like at least 60 games.
60?
Yes. Because, let me tell you, they've been there and done that. And every champion, like I watched this interview with Magic Johnson, and he said because every every year you're playing more games than almost everybody. You know what I'm saying? Except for that one year where they didn't go far into the playoffs, or it didn't go far anywhere.
They didn't make the playoffs.
They didn't make the playoffs at all. So, like, there's going to be some burnout, and we can clearly see it right now. And I think there's nothing to be worried about.
I'd say after 20 games, if it's not looking good, then I'd start getting worried for them.
For me, if they're not able to make a trade, then I think the season is done. They have to make defensive trades.
What do you mean trade? Who are you? Who is on the block? Draymond, Clay?
No. Not any of those guys. I just mean for the bench. They need to get perimeter defenders. They need to get people that are defensive minded, like losing GP out of border.
Yeah, so that's
like,
what I was saying.
They need to losing get players GP like that back.
Huge. Losing GP was really huge.
Okay, I hear that. I hear where you guys are coming from. But yeah, like I said, for me, after 20 games, I'd start getting worried about the Warriors if there's not a change. Let's it's my segment now. Let's talk about the Los Angeles Lakers. You know, I actually promised last week that I wasn't going to talk about them often this season, but then I wasn't even going to watch their games. But then when they said Russ was going to come off the bench, I watched the game against Minnesota. I'm like, hang on a minute, like something is going on here. And then I watched the game against Denver. Was it comes off the bench, give them a spark. Comes up, watch the game against the Pelicans, comes off the bench, gives them a spark, and yesterday comes off the bench, gives them a spark again. Russ has been rejuvenated, but the Lakers are still trash. And it's because of many things in particular. LeBron James is not playing to the standard that we've become accustomed to him playing for over the past, let me say, 16 years. Anthony Davis, this is my biggest problem, AD, right? Right now, he's probably playing as the best defensive player in basketball, probably aside Giannis Antetokounmpo. But you're playing against your primary matchups yesterday are what's the guy on PED's name? Lauri Markkanen and the other guy that can shoot threes.
Is it Gilgeous Alexander?
Kelly Olynyk.
Kelly Olynyk.
So your primary matchups yesterday are Kelly Olynyk and Lauri Markkanen. For Giannis, that is borderline 40 and 15. I tweeted before the game. I was like, AD, okay, you're marketing an Olynyk are you, and that's literally a mismatch. If they switch any other person on you, that is a mismatch. You have a mismatch all game. Go out there and give me 30 and 10. In the first half, he has 20 and 6. And I'm like, okay, AD. I like what I'm seeing from you. Keep going, keep dominating. And AD finishes with 22 and 8. That is not going to cut it. It's just not going to work. And I understand LeBron James is front rimming. He put up a three that was 3 to 5 inches short. That is all fine. That is all well and good. Well, actually, I'll get into him later. But as for Anthony, I've never seen a dude 6'10 who's that talented like AD constantly get not take advantage of the talents he has over his defender. AD, you have 20 and 6 in the first half. If Giannis has 20 and 6 in the first half, you best believe he's getting a 40 ball. You best believe. Ask yourself this. When was the last time you saw AD have a 40-point game? Matter of fact, let me take it down. When was the last time you saw AD have a 35-point game? You know what our reduces? When was the last time you saw AD have a 30-point game? AD hasn't had a single 30-point game this season. What do you guys think?
First off, Lakers have been impressive to me. They're I think sixth in defense, which is amazing. It reminds me of the bubble Lakers where defense anchored them. But LeBron has been sick. LeBron has been
no way, bro.
He has been sick, like I said.
Bro, I'm not having that.
It's pretty evident. Like he said it. He said he has not been able to sleep. He has tummy issues.
He should go and work on his three-point shots.
He has like a virus in his tummy or something of that sort. So he's playing lethargic. He's you saw him gas out pretty early in games, and he'll just go to the bench. So he's not having that energy, and that affects like you jumping and whatnot. So I'm gonna excuse him because I know like the standard. Just the same way we're willing to give.
My.
He's trying to have the Jordan flu.
Oh my every God. Year. Honestly, bro.
I think we have to be fair here. We just spent 15 minutes giving Golden State benefit of the doubt. Because
I didn't.
Okay, but the other person that is talking about Jordan, we spent the last 15 minutes giving Golden State benefit of doubt because of what they've shown. LeBron has shown consistency for years, so we have to give him benefit of the doubt. He's playing with
I
RJ Barrett.
don't, and I'm not gonna do
A
that.
wise man once said, "We need to give LeBron the Udonis treatment."
That was fun too. But that said,
But
LeBron is Udonis Haslem.
anyways, so yeah, the only problem I have with Lakers is when it comes to like getting a bucket where the defense is like set and they are switching and whatnot, they don't have that person that can just get that bucket. Even if it's
LeBron,
AD, LeBron,
a phony goat
Westbrook,
supposed to do something
there
about
is no
that.
one that can get that bucket and it affects them in the clutch.
Here's my thing. That's AD. How many times did you watch the Jazz game yesterday?
No, I did not.
Okay, time and time again, they went to AD in the post. AD, you have Lauri Markkanen on you. I get that he's currently on PEDs, but you're 6'10, probably 280 pounds. Get your big behind, take him underneath the basket, and finish
What makes
that
you
thing.
think Lauri Markkanen is on PEDs?
Oh,
That is
please,
like that.
have you seen him playing off recent?
He's like
Nah,
that.
he's on PEDs, bro. I'm not having it. He's on PEDs.
He's been doing that in, when he was
Nah,
Cleveland
allow
before.
it, fam. Allow it, fam. He's on PEDs. But yeah, I'm saying we. Sorry, carry on. I didn't mean to cut you short.
Oh yeah. So yeah, I am encouraged, even though they've lost. First of all, they have the same amount of losses as Golden State. Let's relax a little bit, you know. But their defense is top six, so I'm
Like
encouraged
their best
by.
player.
Sorry?
Like the
No.
like no no
Like
carry on
number
carry on
six.
carry on carry
So
on.
I'm encouraged. I just expect LeBron when he's not in the funk he is right now, when he's not sick, I expect them to take that
Let me ask
step.
you a question right now. Is LeBron James a top five player in the NBA right now?
No.
Is LeBron James a top 10 player in the NBA right now?
No.
Is LeBron James a top 15 player in the NBA right now?
No.
Is LeBron James a top 20 player in the NBA right now? You got me. LeBron James is a top 20 player in the NBA. Like, I'm saying 18th, 19th, 20th as of right now. And I don't see that improving. Honestly speaking, I don't.
What do you mean? So you have to remember, first
LeBron
couple of
has been, it's not just these past few games. He's been lethargic all season.
no.
He's been horrible.
I
And
agree with the
Femi, we'll
point
come to you
where
in a minute.
I agree with the point where his points have been
Stat padding.
yes, they've not been really consequential to the game. But LeBron was averaging 20, I think 25 points.
I'm not having that. I'm
Wait,
sorry.
wait, wait, 25 points. The last few games he's averaged, I think about 20 or probably even less, right?
Well, in the game against the Pelicans, he had 21 and shots and took 23 shots.
Okay. So if LeBron gets back to scoring 25 points, that's all they need. In the case of Golden State, their star players are playing, they're putting up the same numbers they would usually put up.
So what makes you think LeBron is going to get back there? Because I don't see it happening.
Because I don't think it's a problem with age. I think it's a problem with the sickness.
Okay,
That's what I
Femi, what
think.
about you?
For me, the man is playing like the number he wears, top six. You know what I'm saying? And don't shake your head at me. You know it's the truth. One thing I will give LeBron credit for is his efficiency over the years. Like you always see LeBron shooting at least north of 50%. But as of recent, my man has been putting up too many shots with too many less two lesser points. Like, you know what I'm
Yeah, just to we need to take the brick out of the West and put it in the Le brick. No longer West brick. Le brick James.
He has
Carry on.
been LeBricking. And I don't want and I implore you, I endorse you, I promote you to check his 3-point percentage over the season. It is abysmal. It is very terrible.
He's the worst 3-point shooter in the league right now.
Right now.
Do you know who is just above him? Klay
Who?
Thompson. Klay
Oh,
Thompson is
who?
probably even worse. Klay Thompson was shooting 20 something percent from three. Say something.
Okay.
What's your point?
Okay.
Are you gonna say
No.
Klay
Here's the
cannot
thing.
get back?
Here's the thing. We all know that Klay is a shooter. LeBron has never been a shooter.
No, no. The point is not about LeBron being a shooter. The point is about LeBron scoring more than
his scoring numbers
efficiently more than what he is right now.
LeBron, he's not. Sorry, he's not been doing
you should carry on. You should carry on.
He has not been doing that.
Klay hasn't been doing that either.
Okay, interesting. Number two, Patrick Beverage. You know what I'm saying? That man has been playing Beverage. Like, you know what I'm saying? Very below average. I saw him miss too many wide open threes, too many wide open layups. Like, come on, man. You're a professional basketball player. You're a professional basketball player. You talk all that talk, you got to back it up. Number three, Russell Westbrook.
Oh, my God.
I just want to say over the past four games.
Since he's been on the bench, basically.
Okay, but listen. Okay, over the past four games, Westbrook has reminded me of love I had for him over the past couple of years.
My God.
And not only has he's been averaging like 18 points on like 50% shooting over coming off the bench. Damn near averaging a triple double, 18, 8, and 8 off the bench.
Why is that man crying?
That's right. This shit means something to me, man. Wow.
It doesn't, but yeah,
for a year, I sat on this podcast looking like a madman defending my point guard. And to hear him get praised, not just by me, but by others, it's just carry on, man.
Imagine averaging 18 points and that's, oof, I'm going to cry.
Off the bench. Off the bench. And he's almost playing like starter minutes.
Yes,
I'm not going to lie. He has been LeBron and LeBron has been Westbrook.
No, don't do that. Criticize LeBrick and give Russ his praise. What kind of backhanded comment is that?
Like, bro, like, here's the thing. Russell as, like, I mean, even when he takes jump shots now, I'm even like, yo, Russell, take that. You know what I'm saying?
3 of 5 from 3 yesterday. # just saying.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm going to cry. You just said hashtag, just say. All right, go ahead.
So, like, Russell off the bench has been the spark maybe the Lakers have always needed. Lonnie Walker has been a gun sent for these
fantastic
guys. But the one, literally, I saved the best for last is Anthony Davis. Look me in the eye, Anthony. You are 6'10", 275. Why are you averaging? You're not averaging. You're supposed to be averaging nothing less than 28.5, 13 rebounds, 5 blocks, 5 assists, and 3 steals. You are 28 years old.
No, those are fair numbers, you know.
5 blocks. Are you guys crazy?
Those are fair numbers.
No. I really mean this.
I know you
I really mean this.
I can
look
see
at his counterpart Atinte, because by now we already know how we compose. Right now Atinte is in the conversation for both MVP and defensive player of the year,
and is unanimously the best player in basketball.
Facts. Why can't
Luka might have something to say? KD might have something to say.
Okay, what?
Miss me with
KD.
All that.
KD.
Cardon.
Kevin. Kevin can't even. Kevin doesn't. Kevin comes close, but AD is much. I say has more girth than Kevin Durant.
He should have more girth than Kevin Durant,
and he should be average. Like AD in New Orleans, about like in 2018, 2019, we're talking about him averaging at least 28. And
he was the unanimous crown to be the greatest power forward. They want to succeed Tim Duncan as the.
You know, I saw this point where people said. Him like adding the weight he added is like a pitfall, because like when he was more mobile, he was quick and you couldn't like anticipate some.
I don't even know, man. I don't know, because AD is shooting probably less than 18% on jump shots now.
Right.
He made a 3 yesterday. I actually cried because I ended
up. He has less lift. My guy is 253 pounds now.
But like there was a time in the game yesterday, I think, to cut the lead to 1. Russell ISOs in the middle of the paint. And then drives and kicks the AD wide open for a 15-footer, and he breaks it. And that has been consistent with his game all season. You're wide open from 15 feet. AD, that is a free throw. You should make that.
And he was making that when he wanted to.
He was making that when I need... Ask yourselves this. When was the last time AD dropped 30 points? I'm not even going for 35 or 40. When was the last time he dropped 30?
That guy was a PR prince.
He was. And, like, I mean, every time I see him on the... He's always the last to get on offense, the last to get back on defense. And he balked up this season. Like, come on, man.
Yeah, we need to.
And come on, man. Like, Anthony, look me in the eyes. From 2 days henceforth, nothing less than 28, 15, 5 blocks, and 5 assists. You are that guy. You should be that guy by now.
He'll deliver. He'll deliver.
All right, Russ, man. Russ.
Well, Russ has
they
been,
switched up.
Russ needs to continue with the pace he's at right now. Russ is amazing. Bro,
the other day, I saw him come down the court. Quick Russ down, laid up with the left. I'm like, this is Russ.
And Russ. we need to give a shout out to the coach. The coach, especially the game.
He's coached. Yeah.
The game before their last game. I forget the team they played.
Nuggets.
They lost in OT.
New Orleans.
No, they won in OT.
Yeah, the one they won in OT, I mean.
That was new.
How he brought on Pabev towards the end of the game to get timely stops on, was he CJ? And
Pabev had a couple offensive rebounds as well.
As well. When he put Westbrook to the bench. Westbrook has been amazing. And then he brought Matt Ryan to hit the last shot. Like, there were so many coaching decisions that I really appreciated with the
and
coach.
For me, I feel like yesterday, if Russ was playing the way LeBron was playing, he would have been sat the last few minutes. So I think LeBron should have been sat the last few minutes.
But I mean, it's more difficult to like say, okay, I'm going to see LeBron. You get what I'm saying?
But you're a coach. You're meant to make those difficult decisions. Let's move on to the Cleveland Cavaliers. I think they're 6-1 or 7-1.
No, I think they lost the last game.
They did. 7-1.
They won Boston.
They won Boston?
They did.
I know. After Boston, I think they played again.
No, they're 7-1.
They are?
Yeah.
I just what quickly, like before we get into other stuff, what do you guys think about the Cavs?
They're in my opinion, they're the best team.
In the East?
In the league.
I told you they were going to be one of the most fun teams to watch in the league alongside the Pelicans.
That one game they lost by 3 to Toronto, and Toronto.
Yeah, that's right. Nick Nurse, the mad scientist.
But they beat Boston twice. Not once, but twice.
That game was very exciting.
So what a game, man. What a game.
That backcourt is incredible.
They are fun to watch. Absolutely fun to watch.
The way Donovan took over in that fourth quarter against the Celtics was just ridiculous. And then you have the play drawn up by Mazzulla where Tatum cuts to the rim and throws it down.
And you have to remember the game they lost. Garland got injured after 13 minutes. Mm. So he didn't play the entire game. No one knows what could have happened.
We would have still locked them up.
But their bench is amazing. They have Kevin Love coming from the bench. Chedi Osman. They have so many, and they still have this guy injured. There's gonna be back sometime in the future. The white boy from
Ricky Rubio. Mobley had 7 blocks as at the third quarter yesterday.
Nah, that team is incredible.
They are actually very fun.
Very fun. They are fast, like Darius Garland. His combos are just so exciting, man. Nice. Like, bro.
And he's, I remember Garland had 12 assists, 29 points, and only 2 turnovers. That's just...
Man, the Cavs are...
5 threes, just...
I think they're more of a contender than the team we're going to talk about next, the Philadelphia 76ers. Oh, when you have a coach strutting around looking like a packet of Maltesers, of course you are going to be as bad as you are. Of course.
That man is playing doctor and all his patients are dying.
The only good thing about the Sixers this season is Tyrese Maxey. And now there's news James Harden is going to be out for a month. Joel Embiid, only God knows when he's going to get back. Tobias Harris is supposed to be earning $180 million. When Joel Embiid gets down, he still doesn't show up. The excuse of he wasn't touching the ball. Okay, Embiid is out. You're getting more touches. You're still not doing anything. PJ Tucker looks like he should go and start a shoe collection on YouTube channel because right now he's not pulling it up on the basketball court. It's just... For me, just sack Doc Rivers. That's the only way forward. That is the only way you're going to get anything out of this team.
Facts. I mean, like, they were up at least double digits against the Knicks and still lost to the Knicks.
Bro, they lost to the Washington Wizards, bro.
But the Knicks!
The Wizards!
The Knicks!
Bro, the Wizards, bro.
Nah, the Knicks.
Nah, the only thing Kuz is known for is Twitter these days.
Come on, man. And they were up double digits in the fourth quarter. How you lose that?
It's a joke. It is a joke.
Man, I would never want Doc Rivers to be my doctor. And if I see him in a doctor's appointment, I'm walking out the door right away.
I agree with you guys. Doc Rivers is the problem. Because when you have Joel Embiid out and you don't play Paul Reed... Who is your hustle player, your best rebounder, or your better rebounder between he and Harrell? Harrell brings nothing other than fouling people.
You see, I don't mean to sound some type of way, right? These aren't my words. But I saw on Twitter sometime when somebody said, people think Pat Bev and Trez are good defenders because they... Not my words. Like I said, not my words. They said they think they're good defenders because they're ugly. And I low-key agree with that.
Yeah. So you are promoting that statement?
No. I'm just saying, where on God's green earth did Montrezl Harrell get this reputation as a defensive stopper from?
Nah, he's never been
a defensive stopper.
He's always supposed to be a hustle guy, but Paul Reed against the Knicks, I think he had like four steals or something like that. That's someone that would get in the passing lanes. Hustle, get in your face, make you force you to make mistakes. But they went on like they were up 10 against New York Knicks because of Paul Reed. This guy had a block, they went to score. And Doc Rivers said, we're winning. Why would we be doing that? Paul Reed, come out.
That's exactly what they said.
then you put PJ Tucker as the center and put Paul Reed out. And New York Knicks, they just had like layup drills, and they started leading before he now brought back Paul Reed. It was too late.
It looked like you know when you're playing My Career on 2K, right? Mm-hmm. And you're playing and you're doing drills to get your badges, mm-hmm, for finishing. That is like there was a layup line to the rim every time for the New York Knicks.
And what I find funny again is the game before the one against New York Knicks, I think Washington Wizards. They asked him after the game. They said, you only played Paul Reed and Harrell a combined, I think, less than 10 minutes combined for the entire game. And he played mostly PJ Tucker and other people. And one of their other, like, the guy that shoots three that is white, I forget his name, that is a little bit tall.
Korkmaz.
No. Niang.
George's Niang.
Yeah, he played him as center as well. So they asked him in the post-game. They were like, yo, why did you play these guys a combined of like less than 10 minutes? It was like, I made the right decision. You guys, blah, blah, blah. So stubborn. But what's funny is the next game, he plays those guys a combined 47 minutes out of 48, which is baffling to me. If you are so convinced in your ways, how come you're switching the next game? It's like he doesn't know what he's doing. Like, people are just...
I have a question for you guys.
We have to like move on to the Bucks before...
Quick question.
Yeah.
If your coach sounded like this, hey, cross the ball to them, then go to the left and then go to the right, would you be able to be, would
just,
you be coachable?
I'm just saying, if my coach looked like a packet of Maltesers, I would probably be slapping his head every day before we start training. Nah, but I'm going to end it at that. I don't condone the violence. Nobody should slap
Doc Rivers. No, but instead of to slap, why should you slap? Just rub his head for good luck.
Nobody should slap Doc Rivers. But honestly, I dislike the man. I've disliked him ever since I watched the Game 7 against the Clippers. And he waited.
As a coach or as a person?
You know what?
That's a good question.
It might be going into as a person.
That's a very good question.
But yeah, let's quickly talk about... Femi, do you want to call his name?
Atinti. By now, you should know how we kumpo.
Bro, these men are 8-0. 7-0. 7-0, 8-0.
And Giannis is missing today's game.
Really? Watching the game against the Minnesota
They're
Timberwolves.
8-0. They're 8-0.
It did not even look like there were two centers. It just looked like there was a bunch of 5-6 people trying to guard Giannis. Honestly speaking, I feel like we're starting to see a LeBron level of dominance from Giannis.
I agree.
On both sides of the floor.
I agree.
He's by far and away the best help defender in the league.
Facts. Yeah, I saw a stat recently. He's holding opponents to less
32%
than 32% from the field when guarded by him. And he's still giving you 30-plus on 50, 20-something, and 80-something splits.
Giving you crazy. At least 12 rebounds, 12, 10, 11, 12, 13 rebounds a game. Giving you 3 blocks. A couple steals here and there, still managing to give you 4, 5, 6 assists. Like, this is not normal. This is, I'm sorry. Like, I love Luka. Giannis is the best player in the league. Like, this dominance I'm seeing from him, not a lot of people can do on both sides of the floor, bro. I'm speechless.
Speak for the person in black. Oh,
the other man in black. What you have to say for yourself?
Okay, so the one thing I really like about Philly, I'm sorry, about Milwaukee right now is compared to last season, they were one of the worst defenses with like closing out on three pointers because they focused on like help defense a lot. Sorry,
on clogging the paint,
yeah, they focused on help defense a lot, like clogging the paint, making sure people don't get like easy baskets. And that opened a lot of like chances for 3-point shooting. But this year, it seems like there's been like a focus on making sure people don't take open threes and trusting their center to like make plays in the paint. And I think on both, you see their defense has been amazing. They stop people from scoring. I think a bunch of people have scored less than 90 points. They don't concede a lot of open threes. They block shots. Brook Lopez has been one of the best defenders this year. Giannis has been one of the best defenders. And I think both of them will cancel out. And that's why maybe Giannis might not win DPOY, even though he deserves it.
For me but right Brook now, Lopez then, I don't think there's any other person.
I mean,
AD, but his team is trash.
Yeah. But yeah, speaking of Giannis has been... His passing has been very amazing to me this year.
His passing is the most underrated aspect of his game. Like everybody just when they think of Giannis, they think, ooh, he's putting off 34 and 12. Giannis is averaging, I think, is it 5 or 6 assists a game?
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah.
He will retire as the greatest power forward of all time.
No.
And his resume at 26 is not.
Tim Duncan is the greatest the power forward.
I didn't say he is. I said he will retire.
He's not going to. Tim Duncan. My God. You think he's going to get more than 5 rings?
I think 3 rings is enough for him to retire as the greatest
because power Tim Duncan has also won DPOY. He has won MVP.
Did Tim Duncan win the... I don't think he ever won DPOY.
He did.
I don't think he did.
Okay, anyways. Milwaukee, they don't have 2 of their starters playing. And that is incredible. Connington... And
Chris Middleton. That's Chris.
When you don't have 2 starters and you're the best team in the league by far, that is an incredible feat. So
man like Squidward. He has been balling out this season, man.
Who's that?
Bobby Portis. I love watching the Bucks. Drew Holiday getting stops on the perimeter.
I'm not gonna lie, I don't like watching them. They're not exciting.
They play defense. I love watching defense, and they play defense.
Not DPOY.
Yeah, Tim Duncan never won a DPOY. They play defense, so I love what I'm seeing from the Bucks right now. They're the out and out favorites in the NBA to win the chip this season, and
although when it comes to like their scheduling, it's still
they haven't really had a lot of tough games, but. Yeah. We'll measure them when they come against the bigger people, the biggest, bigger
teams that are top 10 in offense and defense. Yeah, then we'll be able to measure them.
Yeah, but for right now,
yeah,
at least there's one good team in Milwaukee, Aaron Rodgers, save your soul. Quickly before we get into a new aspect of the show, I just I just want to ask you about the Nets firing Steve Nash, just you, Tosin. What do you think? Who should they get?
First off, it's been a long time coming. Firing Steve Nash, because we've all over the year and a half seen his inadequacies. So it came as a surprise to me why he was fired, though, because I think the general manager said Steve Nash told him, I want to step down because the players aren't listening to me anymore.
Yep.
So it wasn't even because of his performance that he was fired, which annoys the shit out of me. But nevertheless, I'm very happy that he's fired. And there are rumors that we're in pole position to get Ime Udoka. And I think, like, I share the sentiment with a lot of, like, all these analysts where there is not a coach that can save this Brooklyn team. Like, it just seems everything that will go wrong will always go wrong. But if one person, or if there is one person among a few select of people that can do anything significant, Ime Udoka is one of those names. And
so would you go for it, or does the...
Of course I'll go for it. I know, like, he has, like...
Him doesn't disturb
I know
him
he has much. His personal life thing going on, professional life thing going on as well. But like a wise man once said, if it ain't me, it's none of my business.
Pause. What? I might have to take that out.
If it ain't you, it's none of your business. Interesting.
It ain't my business, man. But anyways, the point is, I believe he would have learned from his mistakes, and such things will repeat themselves again, hopefully. Because when you face, like, public ridicule like that, you would learn faster than when it's private. So yeah, I believe that things like that won't happen again.
And give him another shot.
Yeah, I believe he should be given another shot. He's quite, I mean, he has shown that he can be relied on as a coach.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. That's good. That's all the basketball we have for this week. Psych, fooled you. We actually have a new segment coming up. And actually, we're going to start with Tosin's segment. It is called Quan Quan, Quan Quan, Quan Quan, Quan Quan, The Watch List.
That's right.
I should actually edit that sound. That's right.
Now, the Watch List.
A group of people gather around every week to decide the number of players who are under the most pressure in the NBA. This is not... Actually, I should ask you before. Is the list an indictment or an encouragement?
That's the million-dollar question.
It's... I try to make it like an encouragement where I show your flaws and then I show some strength or ask questions. And then maybe see a silver lining. So the basic summary is just players or teams that have gone through certain things that I'm quite interested about or intrigued about, and I want to know, I'm curious about what the future holds for those.
So the watch list is not an indictment, it is an encouragement. Therefore, without further ado, the first ever watch list on the CourtCast. Tosin, the floor is yours.
Thank you, mate. Thank you. one second here. Let me see. Dang it. Oh, my goodness. I have made a very difficult lapse in judgment.
Oh my God. Any problems?
Yes. Major ones. Okay. I figured it out.
Okay. This man's a clown, man.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, he's even sharing his screen. Okay. The watch list,
as you can see. Your one and only T Baba.
That's right.
Okay.
T Baba.
So my the fifth team. So it's the top five list. The fifth team I would like to focus on this coming week and watch is the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Okay.
And why, you might ask? First, they're the sixth in offense with averaging
Love this presentation.
115 points per game, and second in defense. That is literally a recipe for success. Missing out on a key bench player in Ricky Rubio.
Stop, stop, stop. Rubio is not a key bench
We
player.
know what
Just
he did last
stop.
year before he got injured.
Just
So
please just stop. Just stop.
having the point guard come off the bench like
I don't agree
that
with you, thank you.
is essential. So I'm very happy with what I'm seeing. They're first in net rating. So their net rating is 11.1. So they're beating teams by 11.1 points per game. So that's domination. Not just beating them 90, 70, or 90, 80. I mean, they're dominating every single night. They're second in three-point defense. And we know that in the era we're in, like most teams try to climb up in the game or close up the gap or win the game with the three-point line. And when you're playing amazing three-point defense, you are basically snuffing their chances out. And we know what their interior defense is like. They have like 2 7-foot players in the
Two
paint. So
legit 7-footers.
yeah. So I think they're the deepest team with one loss. We before the season started, we thought the Philadelphia 76ers, or
Hoped.
we thought they were the deepest team, basically. Because I remember the first episode, we did think Philadelphia 76ers was deep.
I thought the Clippers.
You thought the Clippers, but these guys are the legit deepest team. Because Ke what Kevin Love is doing, what Osman is doing, what these guys are doing, you won't find the combination of all that in any other team. You might have one person do it in another team, but like the combination is like they have no
Said
weaknesses.
the Osman is like that white boy in your local YMCA that you can't leave him open. You just can't do
Yeah,
it.
yeah. So my number four team is Clippers. And I have a lot of
Interesting.
worries with the Clippers.
Oh my God.
First is, where is Kawhi Leonard?
In LA.
Where is that guy? And I would want us to like start like holding him accountable, although it's not like his fault. But when you pointed out Kyrie Irving, he's since he signed in Brooklyn, how many
It's
games has
not
he
the
played?
same. I'm
Your
sorry, it's
best
not the same.
no
I'm sorry, it's not the same.
wait,
I'm
let me
sorry, it's not the
this
same.
is my segment, so I would
It,
like you
I'm sorry,
just
it's
sit
just
back and
I can't
listen.
believe I actually can't
My
believe
man,
you're doing that right now. It's not the same.
my man sounds like
And listen.
Stephen A. This is my show.
This is my show. So although both are like for different reasons. One, you blame the player, he's a cancer and whatnot. The other, but the reality is your best ability is your availability. And if you're constantly a no-show, it's a detriment to your team, regardless of the reason. So if Kawhi over the past 2 years has played a total of maybe 40 games, that is not good for the team. Too much ISO. They don't move the ball and they don't
I
assist
hear
the
that.
ball.
I hear that.
I have the numbers here. Let me pull it up really quickly. So the 44.7% of unassisted field goals, and that is second in the league. So a lot 44% of their field goals, they don't assist. So they play a lot of ISO ball.
Fair point.
With Reggie Jackson or Paul George, and this has not been a recipe for success. Also, their defense, opponent's field goal has been 43%, which shows that they are the third best defense in the league. So that is a silver lining, for the Clippers. When you have the third best defense, I expect their offense to like pick up at some point, getting back Kawhi. I expect them to start moving the ball a little bit more because playing ISO ball is tiring. It tires you on defense as well. So I expect them to start moving the ball really quick. And they're the third best defensive team in the league in the clutch time, which is like last 2 minutes. They're third best defensive team, which is pretty awesome. So I only have a 70% concern for them simply because
only.
Okay, the reason why is that
it's because of Kawhi's injury.
No, it's because if you're playing too much ISO, you're not. That's not a good recipe for success.
Celtics and, made the NBA Finals last year. Just saying.
No, they were moving the ball. They did a lot of drive and kick. You drive, you kick, you pass the ball. The other person drives. It creates mismatch. So they were doing all of that. But this season, they're not doing that. Plus the loss of Kawhi or the disappearance of Kawhi. So
you're going to talk about the Clippers, but you're not going to talk about that shot PG made against the Houston Rockets.
No, it was amazing. It was amazing. But you cannot expect your team to always do that every night. It's not going to go down every night.
Right.
So my third team, Philadelphia 76ers.
Surprised that's not his one.
They have a 4-6 win record, which is pretty underwhelming for type of season we thought they would have. They're not as deep as we thought. They're last in bench points.
Wow,
that's due to coaching.
That is actually very shocking. In bench points,
like last in bench. They got Melton. They got the house dude that Skip loved so much that I thought he would have beat LeBron. they got house. So they recuperated
so funny, with their
bench, but it just seems like, how can you be the dead last in bench points? That is not going to get you anywhere.
I hear that.
I think they have to start staggering like their bench, playing like maybe James Harden with the bench or Tyrese with the bench or one of the starters with the bench. Mm. Bad defense. They're allowing 113 points per game and scoring 114 points per game. That's a net of just positive one. So, like, you're not playing amazing defense. Your offense is barely getting by, and you're last in bench points. That is not a good recipe for anything. They are last in rebounds. So with having Joel, having all these people, you are still last in rebounds. So a combination of being last in rebounds, mediocre defense, your last in bench points, that is a disaster in the making. Opponents shoot 47.5% against Philadelphia 76ers, and that's bottom six in the league. You cannot allow your opponents to come into your to come play against you and then have an amazing night shooting the ball. No. That's no good. So yeah, basically, yeah, I think it's just a recipe for failure.
Before you carry on, do you think a remedy for the bad defense? Obviously, I feel like with Joel Embiid coming back from his injury, the points per game allowed is going to go down and the rebounding is going to go up.
I think with defense, it's always about hustle and desire. So I think it can always be work done and achieved. Of course, Joel is amazing, but in the interior. But if you're still letting people shoot amazing from three or mid-range, it's only going to go so far. And the worst in rebounding is still with Joel there. He has missed a couple of games, but it's still with Joel there. So Joel cannot get every rebound. You're a lot right. of the times, Joel is last to get back on defense. So, like, there's so many things there that you have James Harden that is not going to bother on defense. Tyrese Maxey is a liability on defense. Melton is a liability. So they have a lot of, you know, liabilities. Second is Brooklyn Nets, and I will not spend too much time on Brooklyn Nets. Kyrie Irving, drama, being suspended. Good luck to Kyrie Irving. The coach being fired, I see it as another drama, but a silver lining, because now you can have a fresh start. You can have players getting a new honeymoon where they want to like play for a new coach and show what they're about. Ime Udoka hiring. I think that's going to improve them tremendously, especially defensively. Now they're going to actually have schemes. The former assistant coach for Brooklyn Nets, Stoudemire, I was talking to Stephen A, and he was talking about how they did not have schemes defensively. So if one person, no communication as well, if one person like makes a mistake, but another person make a mistake, and it's like a domino effect. So they didn't have schemes to like stop all of that. So Ime Udoka, I think that's an amazing hire. And number one is Golden State Warriors. Defending champions in the state they're in right now, 0-5 last five games.
Wow.
Is absolutely shocking. They have 119 they consider 119.7 points per game, which is the second last position in the league. You cannot have the second worst defense in the league and hope to do anything. That is giving Brooklyn Nets. Like I said earlier, they conceded 130 points to the 24th offensive rating team in the league. They can't stop anyone.
They can't guard a parked car.
They cannot. Like, my grandma will score on these boys. Wow. So they need to do something. In the last 2 minutes against Orlando, it was layup drills. These guys were going to the hoop. No one stopping them. Draymond fouled out. That was going to be a constant thing. Draymond is always going to have to foul out, especially with Wiseman not playing up to the standard we expect from him.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said in the last podcast, Draymond looks like he's taking a step back communicating because he's on the thin line and whatnot. So that's affecting them on defense. They're making a lot of mistakes. They're 27th in rebound, another recipe for failure. You cannot be 27th in rebound when you're letting teams score so much. So that means every time they miss a shot, they have a better chance of rebounding the ball and going for a second chance point. That is terrible.
You're right.
Opponents scored 21.7 points off turnovers. That's dead last. And I remember Philly last year, when Brooklyn went to Philly, and they were like, yo, we know those guys don't defend on turnovers, on fast break turnovers. So we just knew we had to like force them to turn the ball over. And that's what's happening with Golden State right now. They're dead last. And that's crazy to think about. And opponents are shooting 47.6%, which is bottom five in the league. In the clutch, opponents are shooting 58.5%, which is second last in the league. So when it comes down to it, tie game in the clutch, the opponent's percentage goes up, and that's just incredible. So, yeah, I think they have a lot to worry about, more than we thought. And I think, yeah, I would start worrying right now because they have so much defense.
Is the list an encouragement or an indictment?
So with the Clippers, I have encouragement there because I think the offense will catch up to the defense. With everything, basically, I expose the weaknesses to show where you can correct these things and where you can encourage them. So it's improve on.
Do you have anything to say about the list?
I'd say well done.
Great wonderful presentation.
Wonderful presentation.
Thank you.
It shows that you put in as much work as you put in anything that you do. So I appreciate that.
Thank you. But would you guys like have another team in the watch list?
You know what? I probably would have the Toronto Raptors in there.
Yeah, Raptors. I'll probably have, yeah.
Okay. And not because
Drake dropped a new album.
No, it's not even anything. It's just I'm seeing the rise of Pascal Siakam. OG has had 5 steals in 3 consecutive games. They play defense. I feel like the Raptors can win anybody in the NBA right now. I could probably have the Raptors, the Utah Jazz, and the Portland Trail Blazers. But I get a list of only 5 teams, so I like the 5 teams you went with anyways.
Yeah,
I agree.
Okay. Thank you for coming to the watch list. We'll see you next week. It's a once in a week thing, so we'll be doing that next week.
We record the pod once in a week.
Oh yeah, absolutely. About that. I thought this was one of the bud lists.
Oh yeah, but that's the watch list, man. We actually got another segment coming for you guys, and this is my man beside me, his own segment. Do you want to introduce it, or should I?
No, you introduce it.
Oh, okay. I gotta come up with something with this spot.
I mean, it's a list of the certified bucket getters.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get ready to rumble.
So what's the concept of the certified bucket getters list?
Now, the certified bucket list, you go over the whole week. I look at standout performances. I look at what they're averaging within the week and what they were able to do within the week and compile a list of the top 5 of players, I think, that are the top 5 players of the week. And They it was a tough, very, very tough list.
Because I can imagine.
They were
play. People are going off.
Yeah, there were many players going off, many standout performances.
I just want you to know if Luka ain't there, it's problems.
Yeah. We shot in the list though. Actually, we will remove the segment if he's not there.
But here's the thing. I had a lot of fun doing this research because I was trying to match the players to the stats, to the games that they played. So at least it's not just empty calories that I'm looking at. You know what I'm saying?
Prescott.
That was a low blow. But you know, it's a top five list, and I would like to hear you guys' opinion and the listeners' opinion on what you guys or players that you guys thought of, and you know
who we think should be there.
You should think it should be there. So on the first on the top player of my list right now.
You start from five. You gotta work your way.
Oh,
out.
From five, I would have Pascal Siak.
I like that. For sure.
Pascal Siakam. For sure. Unfortunately, I would have loved to put him higher, but I feel like there were four better players than him this week.
That's fair. That's
Pascal,
fair.
You are a certified bucket getter.
Like,
absolutely. That mid-range game.
I'm telling you, like, I believe his stand-up performance for me was against, I believe it was
Philly,
Philly, Atlanta.
Brooklyn, of course.
Brooklyn, of course, as well. So
he lost that game. Sorry. Go ahead.
Carry on, man. Wow. You always knock us off our tracks every damn time.
But, you know, the man put up, like, I believe it was 28 points, 9 and 7. That's, for the whole week, that's pretty impressive. You know what I'm saying? He's actually, this week, he's in the top 10 in points average this week. Top 10 in assist average this week. Top 10 in rebounds this week. So he's really put in a shift this week. And I really do appreciate what he's doing for my Raptors. I believe after the bubble, I didn't think he would improve to this level, but he's shown me otherwise. His passing is so madly underrated. He has a mid-range game that, you know, that's almost unmatched, but you know, there are definitely better players in the league. And then
The Raptors are in such an awkward position because they have such a great team, mm-hmm. and all they need is one superstar.
Yeah, and
would be legit contenders.
Facts. Well, quickly, one honorable mention, Lauri Markkanen.
That man is on PEDs, fam.
Right. I looked at the game against Memphis. I looked at the game against the Lakers. I looked at the game against
you were at work yesterday. That man could not miss.
But man, bro. That young man is cooking. I mean, like he said with Spencer, who is having the man. I think this man has Suya Pepe in his bag, bro. Like, bro, this man is just spiking up everything for the Utah Jazz.
Is it detriment to the Utah Jazz? They are trying to
I don't understand. Utah Jazz, which other team?
San Antonio
Trail Blazers. Yes.
Portland.
Are you trying to get Wembanyama, or are you trying to make the playoffs? Like, make up your damn minds.
Like, you know what I'm saying? And they're playing, and well, I watched the Utah Jazz play. They're playing absolutely fun basketball.
It doesn't even make sense how they are so good.
You know what I'm saying? They're moving the ball. Everybody's touching it once in a while. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a fluid team. At number four, this might keep popping up on almost every day. He played four games this week. Man, like PG-13.
Oh, I like that.
He had an incredible game against Houston, and he was making bucket after bucket. The man was cooking. When I saw the shot to win the game, I was just like, "That's a tough shot. That's just a tough shot." And I don't mean T-O-U-G-H. You know what I'm saying? That's a tough shot.
T-U-F-F.
You know what I'm saying? At number three. You know, his team hasn't been playing well, but he's been cooking. He's the chef. And he is the chef at number three. He's averaging 31 points, but not on good shooting percentages. But I believe he's just doing that to try to carry his team. And he's been playing the Steph we all know and love. You know what I'm saying? So that's number three. That's number three? Two. Oh, damn. I might remove Steph. Yes.
As in off the list entirely?
No. I might bump him down to like 6 or something. Because at number 3, you have Kevin Durant.
Really?
I was about to say, if KD's not
really
your team.
No. I ain't going to lie. I'm not having that.
No. KD is
hater. Averaging. That's the problem.
Listen. Let me tell you. In the past week, KD is in literally top 5 scorers.
Like, the past year.
Relax, this is the CBG of the week.
Okay, Marvel.
The list is fluid.
That's so
But you know, I had to put. I look at my list. I said I had to put Kevin in there. Kevin at number 3. He's averaging 39 and 8.
I'm still not having it.
You know what I'm saying? And he's
so who do you have there? No, we'll get to you after.
When he's done.
At number 2, I could not escape this man.
Oh,
let's go.
Drum roll.
You've grown as a man. You say his name too. I don't want the numbers.
Yeah, I don't want to hear his 77. Name. Say
his name. His name is no Golden Boy. Why are you scared of his name like that?
Say the name his mother gave him.
Yeah.
At number 2, I could not escape this man. I really could. I tried. Like, and the thing is, if you look at the website I was using to do the research, his face was literally just popping up every single day. And I'm like,
it's like Femi's worst nightmare.
I'm like,
imagine sleeping and seeing Lucas everywhere.
I'm like, bro, what? Like, bro, I could not even avoid it. And he plays for the Mavericks.
What's his name?
Is the point guard.
What is his name?
And he wears number 77.
Which is this Spencer Dinwiddie? I think Dinwiddie is number 77.
Yeah. Because I think you said Dinwiddie was the best player in the team, right?
No, I think it's Jason Kidd, actually.
Jason Kidd.
But here's the thing, though.
What is his name?
Oh, gosh.
We're not familiar with number 77. We don't watch basketball like that.
I'm new.
I call him.
No. The name his mother gave him.
I don't know
his
the name.
His government.
Okay, his government name.
His government name is Lukaka Luke.
The name Adam Silver called when he was drafted.
Luka Doncic.
Thank you. No, was that so hard?
Yes, it was very hard. It was very hard. But I call him Lukaka Luke. And for a reason. The man is always crying. Because every time...
Top bucket getters of the week and you are talking about is always crying.
You know what? Just move on, man. Just say the number one, man. There's no use.
Well, he averaged 35, 8, and 8 this week.
Can you see what he did to our Raptors yesterday?
Yeah, I saw he did. Yeah, on shooting 56%, but 25% from 3. Ugh. Makes me want to throw up, but it's okay. At number 1, by now, you should know how we Kumpo.
Sorry, what's Giannis shooting from 3?
That's irrelevant. That's irrelevant. But it is Giannis Atinti Kumpo. Because by now, you should know how we Kumpo. And he's my number 1 certified. And the way I looked at this list was not only are you scoring, but you're also generating points for your teammates and everything. So that's how I was able to come up with this list. Like I said, the one name that stood out was Luka. And there were games where he was dropping 40 bombs with
40 point triple doubles.
Yeah.
Get that right.
Sorry, can you tell me your 5-4-3 again?
5 was Pascal. Yeah. 4 was Paul George. 3 was Kevin.
Okay, I are you done? Are you done with the list?
Yeah.
Okay, I'd like to say something about the list. The list was amazing, almost amazing. I would grade it a C. Now, why I'm giving it a C is because you don't have SGA on there.
Thank you. I was about to say that. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Here's the thing. The thing is, I do have SGA on my list. Okay, mm-hmm. And he did beat Luka. I was going to put him there. I actually didn't look for that because he averaged 30 points, shooting 0% from 3.
Wait, 0%
from 3 this week. If you look at the If you look, go to Basketball Reference and look at the date from October 9th to November 4th. SGA only attempted 1 3 and he missed. And he still averaged, but that's what I'm saying. Like, he still averaged that many more points. So it was going to be in my honorable mentions. But I think because of the record during the week, KD won more games. Giannis won more games.
I'm saying Paul George. Paul George.
To be honest,
Paul George can be over Paul George.
Do you want me to be honest with you?
Well,
I'd have him in there over KD.
I'd have him in there over Paul George because his record was better than Paul George this week. Also,
this past week, 1 week.
This 1 week.
Not 2 weeks or 3 weeks, Tosin. 1 week.
Okay, what about Donovan Mitchell?
In foreign games, Donovan Mitchell, like, he only popped up on the list, like, maybe two times. And his efficiency was not as good as SGA's, Laurie's, even KD. I was even going to put Banchero in there or JT. But I think those five, I looked at their efficiencies and everything.
For me, it was such a good list. I love Pascal at five. I love PG at four. I'd have SGA at three, Luka at two, and Giannis at one. But actually, there's one name. He's not a certified bucket getter. Mm-hmm. But for me, the most underrated player in the league this year has been Ivica Zubac for the Clippers. He has been performing out of his mind. I think yesterday he had 17 points, 16 rebounds. The game against the Lakers, he had 14 points, 17 rebounds. He's had 10 points, 12 rebounds, 5 blocks game this season.
That's crazy.
That is somebody that's doing it on the defensive end for his team. That is a defensive anchor. Yeah. And for somebody who is overlooked countless times when you're looking at that Clippers team, for me, I just want to give Zubac a shout out. He's not a certified bucket getter, but I just want to give him some love.
But SGA was cooking this week. Like, to average 30 on 0% from three is actually crazy.
SGA in there over KD. Yeah, anymore,
they had a better record.
Any more edits to the list that you make?
No, I'll just have SGA over PG, and I'll have Donovan Mitchell over
If you look at the week, Donovan, Pascal won more games, only lost the game to Dallas. It was a three and one this week. And Pascal, I believe, averaged more points, more rebounds and assists.
That's okay. Then that's fair. Then I'll probably just have SGA there over.
Yeah,
so you'd have SGA at four.
Yeah, I'd have SGA at four.
I mean,
No, sorry. I'd have SGA as three. I'll put KD at four.
No, I like the list. I like Pascal at five, PG at four, SGA.
Actually, I would have Pascal before KD. I'll have KD as fifth.
I like that. But I don't like KD in the least. So Pascal at five, PG at four, SGA at three, Luka at two, and Giannis at one.
Yeah, I couldn't. I tried.
Guess who's going to be top two every week, dude?
Giannis
and
Luka.
77.
Luka.
Yeah. Like, we can't. So, we can't, you know, so what? I think from now on, we should just exclude them. Like, certified bucket getters list aside Giannis and Luka.
Because, Femi, I want you to know that Luka is really like that.
He's him. He's
mad. Did you see how he split the double against Toronto with the behind back of
And the
speed?
thing is, I saw the clip where he was on Precious. Precious played mad defense.
Yeah, bro. He was dancing on Precious. Was he, in the space.
Precious was
ring.
There. Was Precious like, were and he.
Nah, Precious was in there. Stop lying to me. Precious was in there.
Precious was there up
the
until
dancer.
He faded away. Precious was there up until the. Yes, now dancing because
did
he was moving his feet. Lateral quickness.
Did
he
you
was
see
there.
The way Kevin dropped that, man.
Oh, please. Kevin, Kevin said he actually slipped on his sweat.
Bro, no. That was dirty.
Before we end, wrap the show, let's talk about our biggest winners and losers of the week.
Oh, I know. I know.
Yeah, my biggest loser of the week. For once, I'm not having Sacramento. I actually have Kyrie in there. So, no Sacramento. This thing. My biggest winner of the week. Zero. For the Los Angeles Lakers. My point guard.
You okay?
I'm good, bro. I'm hyped.
That's a good one.
Just don't break the mic.
Tosin, your biggest winner and loser of the week.
My biggest loser would be Kyrie as well. He lost his Nike deal. I mean, sorry, his Nike deal's been suspended. He's not playing right now. So I think he's my biggest loser. My biggest winner, dude, that's a bit tough for me. A lot of people played well, a lot of teams played well. Come back to me.
Nah, man, it's gotta be Russ, man. Getting MVP chance as staples after everything he's been
through. No. Russ is definitely up there. I just want to make sure I'm not leaving anyone out.
Who's your biggest loser?
Biggest loser is two people. Losers. Obviously you got Kyrie in there, and you have number six that plays
for. I like that. I should actually put that. Did you see his air ball yesterday?
Yeah.
Wow. Who?
Like the guy that plays six number for six. The Los Angeles Lakers. I can't even say his name. That's how
bad. Oh, okay.
LeBron, Ramon.
Oh, I also have another biggest loser. Well, go ahead, finish your stuff.
And then my biggest winner this week, will be Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. My fault for leaving you out the list, but I believe you. He played amazing.
Okay. So actually, for my biggest loser, I have a group of people there. I have Kyrie.
You just packed all of them and put them inside.
Yeah, I have Kyrie for obvious reasons. I have Timberwolves for getting that guy called Rudy Gobert.
Rudy Gobert.
I'm still losing every game.
Rudy. Rudy made a three yesterday, though.
Really? He was an air ball.
No, he made a three.
I have Utah Jazz there for trying to lose and accidentally winning.
You know what? You know, I can't put that against you. I can't fault you for that.
And Golden State's biggest losers. So my biggest winner would be Westbrook. I have to give it to Westbrook.
I love that, man.
From going from zero to hero, it was getting MVP chance. So I think that's point, amazing.
Man. Like Ja Morant said, y'all switched up. Stay on that side, man. Stay on that side. We don't want you. Stay on that side, man. I remember you with your Westbrook. Stay on that side, man.
I call him.
Nah, allow it, fam. Stay on that side. Y'all switched up. You switched up on my boy. Stay up on that side.
I called him Russell Westbrook. Westbrook. Sorry.
Don't make mistake for you in your life. Like.
What's up, first of all,
man, we've come to the end of another episode of the Courtcast. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening. If you've come this far, like J. Cole once said, then I really with you. Thank you. I hope you guys really like. I hope you guys like the new segments. Let us know what you think about them. Let us know if you make any changes to the CBG Certified Bucket Getters list or the watch list. Just thank you for tuning in. Check us out on all. Social media platforms, on all podcast streaming platforms as well. We'll be back here next week as we always are. We're going to be more consistent from now on, and we'll be dropping every episode on Sundays. Have a lovely day. Goodbye.
Have a good one. It's a Slam Time production.